So this morning, we're talking about building gospel relationships. I have been burdened, I think, and I've always been burdened this way as long as I've been a pastor, for the people in my church to know their missionaries and to know them well. Because if you don't know them well, number one, it's hard to give money to strangers. So you're not going to be as generous in your giving for the sake of the gospel. And that means that there'll be less of a harvest of righteousness. And number two, you're not going to be as faithful in prayer if they're just strangers, if they're just names on a page. But if you can start to see faces and hear stories, and if you can start to understand that they're people like you, and God's using them in different parts, different corners of the world to reach souls for the gospel, that is going to encourage you to be generous in your giving. It's going to encourage you to be faithful in your prayer. And it's also, Lord willing, going to stir you up to be reaching souls right here in our Jerusalem, in our Conemaugh, Dousman, Summit area. And so as we build these gospel relationships, my prayer is that God in his grace would equip us in every way to be generous in every way, so that we would overflow and abound unto all good works. And so that's the plan. Real quick, I just want to highlight our mission statement. I'm really burdened that everyone in the church knows what our mission statement is, why we exist as a church, and that everything that we do becomes a part of this mission statement. We don't exist haphazardly or without a purpose, but we have a very specific purpose, and everyone in the church knows what that purpose is, and we strive every day to reach towards that purpose. So here's our mission statement. Faith Baptist Church exists to glorify God. And we could really just end it there. That's the purpose of the church, to glorify God. But how do we do that? We do it by evangelizing the lost and equipping the saints with the goal of Christ-likeness. And so we don't just do that, evangelizing the lost and equipping the saints with the goal of the Christ-likeness here. We do that according to the Great Commission. And so that means we do it here locally, and we do it a little bit further away from our borders, and then ideally, that goes all the way to the ends of the earth. And we don't make up the scope of that mission. Jesus tells us the scope of that mission in his word, Acts 1:8. So this is a very familiar verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's the scope of our mission statement. We have to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, he says the scope of our mission statement is you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So what is our Jerusalem? Well, our church here is in Summit, and surrounding Summit is Oconomowoc and Dousman, but some of you are in Johnson Creek, and some of you are in Watertown, and some of you are in other places nearby, some of you not quite so near, some of you travel a ways to get here, okay? So think about your Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem as a church, I think, is right here, Oconomowoc, Dousman, Summit, and the surrounding area. That's our Jerusalem. But what about your Jerusalem personally? Your Jerusalem is different than my Jerusalem. My Jerusalem is the people I come into contact with in my area. So my friends, maybe people that I work with. Maybe it's the waiters at the restaurants that I frequent. Maybe it's people in the YMCA that I go and work out in that God connects me to as I'm praying for spiritually needy people. I have opportunity to reach those people that you don't. And so that's my Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is different than mine. So it's your family member. You have an unsaved family member that you have a very unique way of sharing Christ with them that nobody else has. That's your Jerusalem. Maybe it's coworkers. You work somewhere and you're with these people every week for many, many hours. And so you've built that relationship with them, and you have trust established with them and the ability to reach them with the gospel that nobody else does. That's your Jerusalem. Reach your Jerusalem. Maybe it's your neighbors or friends or what have you. So that's our Jerusalem. And our mission is, as a church, we want to give God glory by evangelizing lost. We want to see unsaved people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be born again as a child of God. And so we want to see that happen right here in Conemaugh Dousman Summit, wherever God has us. That is really, really important. And I also think that Acts 1:8, I believe, and this is just my own personal belief, you may disagree and that's okay, but I believe that there's a priority to it. In other words, I think our first priority and the most important thing for us is to reach our Jerusalem. And so we as a church should spend the most of our time, talents, and treasure right here, reaching our Jerusalem. That should be the most important part of it. That's top priority. And so the bulk of our resources goes into reaching the people that God has put into our path right here. But it doesn't stop there, as we'll get into in a little bit. So what I want to do now is, as we think about reaching our Jerusalem, Nate has worked really hard on putting together a video, and we call the video The Invisible Finger of God, and it is the story of how God provided and made possible our new church building, and we want to tell that story to as many people in our Jerusalem as we possibly can, so we're going to share it with you, and then put it on our website, and share it on Facebook, and do a little ad campaign, and share it with our community as much as possible. Excuse me. And then I've already got other people in other churches all over the country that are interested in seeing it and maybe showing it to their church so that it can be a blessing to them. So it's going to have a reach beyond just our Jerusalem. It's going to go maybe even to the ends of the earth. We'll see. But we want to share that with you this morning. So bear with me just a second as I get that ready.
The finger of God is as visible still to those who have eyes to see as when the fire cloud pillar led his people through the wilderness. Our God's marvelous works are still visible today.
This is where it all started for me. The Lord called me the pastor here in the winter of 2006. If you're trying to picture fitting 90 chairs into this little auditorium, that's the way we met for many years. Well, when I first came, there were 12 adults and a baby, and that was it. But then the Lord started to bless, and we started to see more families come in. We started praying for families with little children, and the Lord really blessed that way. Right away, I began to challenge the church about getting into a better building because it was just impossible really to grow in our current facility. One of the first things I did was I contacted Continental Baptist Missions, but at the time they were only accepting churches that had no building at all. So at that point we started looking for buildings to purchase in the area, but nothing just worked out. We even looked at the old city hall, but again one of the builders suggested we not do that, and so we just kept praying.
We eventually became discouraged, feeling our building would never get started. At that moment, God gave us 100 contemporary-looking chairs for our new auditorium, which boosted our morale and helped us to remember God was with us, and he wasn't forgetting about us.
And it wasn't too much longer after that, the building director of Continental Baptist Missions, Dallas Putnam, came and met with our group and said that they would love to build for us. They had changed their policy.
Moving forward with this new building idea initially, it was kind of a scary thing. And the first time that God really settled my soul and showed me that he was in this was our annual meeting when we voted as a church whether or not to move forward with the new building. They came back and they said, Pastor, it's a yes. And not only is it a yes, but it's 100% yes. 100%. And I broke down. I started crying right from the pulpit because
we couldn't agree 100% on cutting down two pine trees, but we all of us agreed to build a new church building, and there was 100% of the vote. That was the start of God showing his greatness in moving us forward in this building process.
We were able to use those chairs God had given us as our color scheme to start our new building, and we were awed by God actually fulfilling his good purpose.
The builder families not only came to build a building, but to minister to us and become part of that bigger family of God through ministry and building a church and building into our lives at the same time. That personal time that the women gave for reaching out to our women and starting Bible studies, I mean, those are all invaluable.
I want to say what a blessing it has been that a part of building this building. Worked with Sean on electrical, worked with the other guys on framing and shingling, although they wouldn't let me go very high when I was shingling. I guess I had other people saying, don't let them get up there. I was really blessed, and it's been great to be in here and to be able to use it for God's glory.
There are a few stories that we have to tell as to how God made this building a reality. We had a family in our church who worked with windows and doors. They gave us all the windows in the church at the cost of what they buy them for, and they donated all the labor to install the windows. My brother, who owns a lumber company, and he gave us a tremendous deal on the lumber. We had another Christian businessman that let us use much of his equipment, a sky lift and some of the other pieces of equipment we would have had to rent, but we were able to use them for free. We had another family that just out of the blue, they contacted us and said, hey, we want to give you guys $100,000. It was just, what do you do when that kind of stuff happens? How do you look at that? It's one thing to hear all these stories by people that have lived and have seen God work. It's a whole other thing to live through it.
God not only worked in some really big ways, but there are also a lot of little ways that he worked, like laying on the heart of a siding contractor to donate $500 worth of siding nails. God laid it on the heart of a businessman, even before we started the building process, to just drop a $300 check in the mailbox. There were a couple of churches in Michigan who brought a van load of people, and they helped with the building process, and also in our own church people. It just fills my heart, and I'm just so excited to see how God is going to use it.
As this building was being built, I had to go in for surgery. We thought, like, why in the world is God doing this to me? And in the midst of that trial, God showed himself strong.
It was Valentine's Day. My son is in the middle of surgery, and I get a notification on my phone. I check my email, and it was the email from the Alaska Foundation. And our church had been accepted. And we had asked them for $150,000. They gave us $208,000. When does that ever happen? When does a company give you $58,000 more than you asked for? And the answer is, if God's in it, that's when it happens.
This grant helped us build the church debt-free, which is amazing, because we were expecting to have to get a loan from the bank, but we had extra money in the bank after.
Walking in here for the first time, I just looked up at the lights in the ceiling and just thinking of the glory of God in the heavens, all these lights and how bright and how beautiful and the workmanship that they did, everything done so well. I never imagined that it would be this beautiful.
In a world that's full of experiences that test your faith, it is so encouraging to come to these times when you can see the visible proofs of God's existence, the faith that builds, to see all of that and put it together, that God still does miracles
and we are able to experience it.
Isaiah 64:10, God says, my purposes will be established and I will fulfill my good pleasure. And that's exactly what happened.
Our new auditorium, our new building now is for me the fulfillment of a 14-year vision.
The invisible finger of God was very visible, and God was teaching us how to look for it, and it was marvelous in our eyes.
All right. Thank you so much. Huge thank you to Nathan Stevens. He put hours and hours and hours into that. Huge thank you to all of you that were willing to be interviewed. And praise God. God is so good. And it's so easy when we go throughout our day, especially when bad things happen, to forget that. But man, every time you look at that building, sing a new song to the Lord, because His wonderful works are very visible. His finger isn't invisible. It's visible. You can see it if you know how to look for it. And that building is a visible evidence of the wonderful works of God. So praise the Lord. And Lord willing, we're going to use that building to reach many souls with the gospel for many years to come. All right. So moving on then, we got to keep going. I've got other things to show you. Not only is the scope of our mission to be witnesses in our Jerusalem, it's also to be witnesses in our Judea and Samaria. So we've got to ask the question then, what is our Judea and our Samaria? Well, to me, that is first and foremost our state, Wisconsin. So not only we spend the bulk of our time, talents, and treasures reaching our Jerusalem, but then I think next in priority is reaching our Judea, Samaria, Wisconsin, the Midwest, and ultimately the United States. So that's the crazy thing, that God expands our reach when we really make the main thing the main thing. God expands our reach, and we can start reaching out not just beyond our little town into other places and helping other people. So how are we doing that right now? Well, we are supporting through our missions, our grace-giving budget, our missions budget. We're supporting two different areas of ministry. Number one is Maranatha. I don't know if any of you knew that, but we do support Maranatha, Baptist University, and both the university and the seminary. We support them on a monthly basis. And then we also support the WFBC, or the Wisconsin Fellowship of Baptist Churches, that we're part of. And one of the main things for the WFBC is to plant new churches here in the state of Wisconsin. And that's a huge burden on my heart. That's something that I am praying God lets me see happen in our church before I die, or He moves me, or Jesus comes back, is that we would be able to plant another church. I would love to see our church reproduce itself in planting a new church in the surrounding area, for the glory of God and to see the gospel move forward. And so for right now, when you give to missions, you are giving to Maranatha to help train young people to go out and become just effective workers and servants in local churches all over the country and the world. And then you're also giving to help the WFBC and its mission of planting churches here in Wisconsin. And I reached out to Scott Jones, who is the new director of the WFBC, and asked him for kind of an update. And so I said, you can either just send me a letter and I'll read it, or do a video. And so he opted to do a video. So here is Scott Jones, and he is going to do just a brief video updating you on the WFBC. So I hope you enjoy this.
Hello to the church family at Faith Baptist in Oconomowoc. We're excited to feel like we're a part of your church family if you faithfully support us. I'm Scott Jones, the State Missions Director of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Baptist Churches, and I've been asked to share just a little bit about our ministry and what's going on and looking forward here. And I want to say, first of all, that it's exciting to see you in your missions conference expressing your burden for God's work around the world. Particularly, we're in a part of the ministry we call home missions, because at the same time as we reach the uttermost parts of the earth and must do that, we want to shore up and encourage churches that are local. Of course, we want to reach out across cultural boundaries that are near us as well. That's all part of the Great Commission. Now, we particularly at the WFBC are looking to plant churches in Wisconsin and then strengthen them. And sometimes churches that have been planted or even that are very old ask for our help to come along and encourage and maybe stabilize a situation to help them get back to strength that allows them to be missionary churches, where they are sending missionaries to all sorts of fields and supporting a lot of missionaries. So home missions is an important piece of the entire plan of God as he calls us to do his work. So we're thankful that you pray for us in that. We are looking diligently now for places that new churches can be started. The WFC doesn't do the church planting itself, but when a church gets a burden, if you guys wanted to plant a down the road, we would love to come alongside and help and encourage you if you could. A lot of churches in the state give so that missionary church planters can be supported, and we're looking forward to seeing some new plants come up in the near future. Over 70 years of our history, I'm told that we've planted about 80 churches from amongst our fellowship of Baptist churches. So that's exciting and something we'd like to see go forward. When I talk about home missions, and Rob and I have already traveled a couple thousand miles in the last couple months around the state and encouraging people to be mindful and prayerful for home missions. It brings me back to my own home, though, and where I got my thrill for missions and where God laid that burden on my heart. I think it goes back to my literal home. My parents were very missions-minded. My family, from the time I was very young, would adopt a missionary and maybe for a few years correspond with them and pray for them consistently. I remember one of the missionaries that we supported was here in the United States on a reservation, and I believe I got that right. It was in New Mexico or maybe just the far west of Colorado. But as a young kid, we went and visited them and right there and saw the work that they were doing. We had other missionaries that we kept track of for a long time in Papua New Guinea, and we never went to visit them, but it felt like we knew them and just got involved in their lives. Also, in my home growing up, my dad, who became a pastor later, but was just serving in the church, Sunday school teacher and such, but they would volunteer to host missionaries. So we got to know a lot of people and see God's burden on their hearts. And I just would encourage you, as you think about missions during your conference, that there's a lot of ways you can be very personally involved and really should be, and looking for the Lord to use you to further this great good news that we have to share everywhere, including right where we start in our home missions program. Again, we're grateful for your support, your faithfulness to the work here in Wisconsin, and we'd love to partner with you as the Lord directs, and hope very soon to be telling you about some specific church planting efforts that are going on, where maybe you can get personally involved in helping out in various ways. So looking forward to that. Again, grateful for the blessing of your partnership. My wife, Robin, and I thank you for the opportunity to work with you through the WFBC. God bless. God bless your missions conference and each one of you, and we'll be in touch in any way we can be of help. Thank you.
All right, so that's Scott Jones and the WPC and our effort to plant churches and reach our Judea Samaria. Well, we need to move on quickly. Then you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so here are all of our missionaries who are over the pond, if you will. They're in some other area of the world, and they're doing exactly what we're doing here, and that is trying to see souls saved, evangelizing the lost, and equipping saints to help one another grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the goal is Christ-likeness. So they're doing exactly what we're doing here, just in other areas of the world. And so let me start sharing with you. So here are Josh and Annie Moore and their kids, Kian, Eva, and Rory. And so I asked them to send me a letter, and they did. So I'm going to read that for you. But I just want to put faces with names and a little bit about what God's doing in their work. So I asked them all to send a good news about the good news story, and then one of their, what's their biggest struggle that they're going through right now. And so Josh says, in our prayer letter that we sent recently, we included a story of how God has brought a young man to our church to intern with us. I also wrote a bit about him in the previous month's update. That is really good news for us at the minute. God has added a solid young Irishman who is hungry for pastoral ministry after completing 3 years of theology at the Irish Baptist College. We're so excited to see how God is already using Chris in so many ways as he serves the Lord at our church. We are hoping to see him ordained in a couple of years, so we're praying for God's working and leading in all of this. And then he says, the greatest burden need in our ministry at the moment is to be able to meet again in person. We had around 3 months of in-person church services, but we've been put back into a strict lockdown. Aside from that, we are really praying about the process of obtaining citizenship and applying for next year of visas. We will be working on all that paperwork in January through February of 2021, so please pray with us as we work through that process. And thanks for keeping everyone there connected with us. We're so thankful for the relationship we have with your church, and we're encouraged to know that we have friends who love us and are praying with us about these things. God bless. So that's Josh. And then Annie sent along a few more pictures of the kids. So if you're wondering how those little ones are growing, they grow quickly. Here's the kids, and they added a new member of the family and their dog. And I forget the name of the dog, but there he is. And so there is Kian, and there is Eva, and there is Rory. And wonderful, beautiful family, and God is using them tremendously in Ireland to see souls saved. I know Josh is really passionate. He goes out and he plays, well, he was, I'm not sure about now with the lockdown, but he was playing soccer with people, men in the community, and building relationships with men in the community, and then building those redemptive relationships, and then using those to share the hope of the gospel with them. And does that sound familiar? Well, that's exactly what we're doing. He's just doing it in Ireland. So when you give in your grace-giving budget, you're giving to these dear people to reach souls all the way over in Ireland. And you are laying up for yourself treasure in heaven, and you are laying up for yourself a harvest of righteousness. And so I just think as we build these relationships, we're encouraged to give generously to gospel ministry. Next, we have the Brandon and Regina Bell, and they are ministering in the Dominican Republic. And we've got their three kids, Patrick, Anthony. I think Anthony is the oldest. Anthony, Patrick, and then little Zoe. And Zoe has dwarfism, and we've been praying for her for a long time. She's doing great, healthy, wonderful. And instead of a letter, they sent a video. So again, I am going to play that video for you now and let them tell you about what God is doing over in the DR.
We're Brandon and Regina Bell, missionaries to the Dominican Republic with Baptist World Mission, along with our three children, Anthony, Patrick, and Zoe. First of all, we'd like to thank you all for your prayers and financial support. We appreciate you all and your kindness to our family over the years. For those of you who may not know us, we're part of a church planting team serving in the city of Puerto Plata on the north coast of the Dominican Republic. Pastor John asked us to share a good news story about the good news. I recently began a study on evangelism on Wednesday nights at our church and encouraged our people to begin praying for opportunities to share the gospel. Well, a few days later, one of our teenagers contacted me and told me how a friend of his messaged him out of the blue, and as they began talking, his friend told him that he wanted to know how to become a Christian. He shared the gospel clearly with his friend, and afterwards, this young man made a profession of faith. He's visited our church, so please pray that this young man, Alexander, would now begin to grow in his walk with the Lord if he is genuinely saved.
Over the past few months, with COVID, our lives have changed drastically, but they've also opened up a lot of opportunities that we didn't have before. All of our teammates have been able to build some strong relationships with many of our neighbors, and several of us have started some English classes and some music classes and Bible studies through people being bored, and we've been able to build some really good relationships, especially with teenagers. And our prayer now is that for those who haven't made a profession of faith of these teenagers, that we'll see many of them come to know the Lord. They've been coming to church faithfully, and we're really thankful for that. Some of them are believers, and they have shown a lot of faithfulness over the past few months, and we're just praying that they'll stick it out through even after COVID has passed. We've had several visitors at church. Almost every service we've had someone new come, and that's been very exciting for us as well as for the current church members, and we just ask that you pray along with us that we'll continue to see this ministry growing, that we'll see many more people saved, and for those who are saved and those who have been coming to the church, we'll just see a greater commitment from each one of them as they move forward and potentially become some of our next leaders in the groups of teens that we're working with right now.
Thank you once again for your prayers for us and for your involvement in the work of church planting here in the DR.
All right, so that is the Bells, and they're just awesome people. We had a chance a couple years ago to go down there for a week-long missions trip and work along with them. And so I just have a tremendous love in my heart for the Bells and the rest of the teammates there in the Dominican Republic and for the work that they're doing. It is a worthy cause. They are diligent, faithful workers, and they are reaching people in the Dominican Republic with the gospel. And so if you would, by God's grace, give graciously to the work, you will be helping that and laying up for yourself a harvest of righteousness in the Dominican Republic. Like, how cool is that? You get to give money for eternally redemptive things, and the gospel gets to go forward. Okay, the next missionaries that we support are the Kims, Hung and Priscilla Kim, and they are ministering in Myanmar. Hung works at a Bible college there in Myanmar, and so he is more a teacher, and he is teaching all of the national pastors and church leaders and equipping them with the goal of Christ-likeness so that they can go out all over Myanmar and reach souls for the gospel. And I didn't get an updated letter from Kim, so I'll just read kind of a good news story from his last prayer letter and one of the challenges that they're going through. So this is a little old. This is back in July. He says, on July 28th, I took a missions trip to a place where a new church planter was allowed to return to his field. With two of my coworkers, we were delighted to learn that there's a good Christian lady who has been a tremendous blessing to the ministry. We trust that in the near future, there will be a Bible-believing church in Mayan town where there is not a single church today. Our church planter approaches the unbelievers through teaching English to children. Please pray that the Lord will bring many souls to the Savior through him in this town. So how cool is that? They're reaching out to, in Myanmar, a town called Mayan town that doesn't have a single church. And the gospel is going forward there, and we could be a part of that as we give. Then the struggle, he says, due to the pandemic regulations, we were not able to reopen our Bible school in June. We had prayed and hoped that we would be able to start school during the first week of August. However, the government has not allowed any religious activities that included more than 15 people. And so that was as of August. I'm not sure where they're at now, but we need to be praying for Hung and Priscilla, and then their kids, Rachel, Becky, Sammy, and Ruth. And God gives us the ability to be part of the harvest of righteousness in Myanmar. Praise the Lord. All right, next up is Michelle Clater, and she is missionary to China. And so she says, hello, Pastor Anderson. It's good to hear from you, especially to hear that your church is growing and seeing fruit, even amidst the challenges of current days. Thank you for your questions. As you know, I've been outside of China since February due to coronavirus, and I'm working to get back there. I'm currently waiting on one additional document before I can get my visa. If you could pray that this document would be processed in good time so that I can return as soon as possible. But even while I've been stateside, I have continued to have contact with several of my Chinese friends, including interacting with them on their daily Bible reading. It is such a joy to me to see these dear friends continuing to learn to grow. It's a reminder of how powerful the Word and the work of the Spirit are, even in the midst of a rigidly anti-Christ society, and how deeply the Lord desires for His children to know Him. Also, I am teaching all my classes from here via Zoom. My prayer has been that the Lord would allow relationships to form despite the distance, and that His light would shine through my words and actions. He is answering that prayer. Just about every week, one of my students comments about my being different, kind, compassionate, patient. I am thrilled with this, as it is God shining through. And I continue to pray that the students' awareness of these qualities will result in them asking the very important question, why? Each of these students was made in the image of their Creator, and it is my privilege to have the opportunity to live His character before them, trusting that He is working in some of their hearts to draw them to Himself. The biggest financial need for me right now is my return to China. Prior to COVID, there were about 300 flights per week between the two countries. Right now, there are 15. So tickets are running significantly higher than normal, and then upon arrival in China, I will be required to quarantine in a government-designated hotel for 2 weeks at my expense. In all, the return will probably be around $5,000. Thanks again for your continued prayers on my behalf. So $5,000 for her to get back into the country when God lets her, and one of my burdens is actually to take up a Christmas offering for missions, and we'll talk about that in the month of December, and I want to break up that Christmas offering for missions into these categories of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth. And so I think giving towards Michelle and her $5,000 need to get back into China would be something worthy that we could do. And so maybe you'd be praying about that. That's in addition to what you're going to give to Grace Giving in 2021. So I don't expect a lot, but maybe God would lay it on your heart to give a little, and we could be an extra blessing and give back around Christmas time. I'll talk about that later. But that's Michelle as she's ministering to students in China. She's brilliant. She's got her PhD. She is going over there to teach English and music in the Chinese system. And then her main goal is to see people saved and to disciple them and to see them added to local churches over there. And it's a privilege to be able to support her and her work. All right, next is Scott and Victoria Williquet. And they are what they call PEP missionaries, which is Pastoral Enrichment Program. And they're not to a specific area. They go all over the world. And Scott teaches in third world countries. He does like pastoral training for national pastors and church leaders in third world countries that wouldn't be able to have that kind of level of training any other way. And so he has a tremendous ministry in ministering to churches all over the world by teaching their pastors and their church leaders how to be better disciples of Jesus Christ. And so Scott writes this. He says, "Thanks for the opportunity to update you and your people. So number one, as you may remember, I'm temporarily on loan to Bibles International to help them establish a new department, the Scripture Engagement Department. BI has wanted to establish this department for decades, but its personnel has literally been too busy to focus on it. Forming a new department and fitting it into an organization's other existing departments is a challenge. No doubt you're asking, what is a Scripture Engagement Department? What is Scripture Engagement anyway? Yep, I had the same questions a few months ago, so I spent over a month reading documents from BI and other Bible societies, the largest being Wycliffe and her sister organization, Summer Institute of Linguistics, and speaking to experts in SE. Troy Manning and Alex Wheeler of BI have expertise in SE and are working on this with me. We've gone back and forth, and I recently wrote the first drafts for all of the positions in the SE department. We worked together last week, October 28th through the 30th, and the BI office in Grand Rapids and refined some of those documents. That work is ongoing. More meetings are planned, and we are hopeful that the SE department will be up and running by the new year. We are thrilled at what God is doing to establish this department. Here is an initial SE department description. The Scriptural Engagement Department, SED, is responsible to remove hindrances to effective scripture use, to ensure as much as possible that the target language group will enthusiastically use and engage with the completed translation. Specifically, the SED endeavors to minister to the target language group throughout the life of the project in such a way that it possesses the background needed to learn from the scriptures and understand its value for daily living, that it has significantly invested in its production and therefore values it as the word of God to its people, and that the completed translation and other Christian publications are readily available and affordable to it in accessible forms. So then his need, he says, our finances are just fine now, especially since I have not been traveling overseas. Our churches have continued to give faithfully, for which we're thankful. My only concern regarding future needs relates to the potential cost of overseas travel. With fewer airline carriers and possibly smaller numbers on each plane, flight costs may increase. If that is so, we will need more money to continue teaching overseas. Only the Lord knows, so we wait on Him. Another matter of prayer, please take to the Lord our future opportunities for teaching in third world countries. New groups have contacted us about their need for Bible education, but who knows whether these countries will be open for Christian ministry in the future. And then he sent along a few of his pictures to his trip to Chad, Africa. So he flew into Chad, Africa. Pastors from all over Chad came and assembled, and he taught them how to, through an interpreter, be better pastors. And then all of those pastors went back to their local churches, and so hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people benefited from Scott teaching these pastors things like expository preaching of God's word and other really important things that we take for granted because we have all this great education and learning here in the States, but they don't have. And it just thrills my heart to see these guys getting trained. And I told Scott, if I can come with you on one of these trips one day, oh boy, I'd love to do that. So that is the Willequits. And their blessing there. Then we've got the Smiths, and I don't have a picture of the Smiths just to protect their family. I'm not even going to use their first names. But the Smiths are working in Central Asia, and the Smiths have been sending me text updates of what God has been doing because they can't be over there either right now because of COVID, but he's been working in some pretty cool ways. So they have been sending out, I'll show you this, these care packages, which have food and water and other, you know, things that meet people's needs. And then they also have been giving the gospel with those. And so they are rejoicing that on 11/17, he sent this text. He says, we're rejoicing with the angels in heaven today as two more Afghanis trust Christ as Savior through our evangelistic outreach. Over 100 Afghanis heard the gospel over the last week, and tomorrow another 40 or so will hear the gospel as well. Please continue to pray as this project is still going throughout Central Asia. Then on 11/19, he said, praise God, River in Turkmenistan reports souls are being saved on a weekly basis. He is extremely encouraged. And then just 11/26, he says, happy Thanksgiving. Best news of the day is that a Tajik man who is a Hajjadi from his pilgrimage to Mecca trusted Christ as his Savior today after viewing and discussing King of Glory. So God is so good that this man, this Tajik man, who is a devout Muslim, a Hajjadi, from what I understand, that means that they've gone and taken this pilgrimage over to Mecca, so they're very devout. This man heard the gospel from the film King of Glory and got saved. And so we have the privilege of supporting Tim and his ministry, and praise the Lord. And people are getting saved. And what an incredible thing that as we give generously, we can aid to the harvest of righteousness. So in just a minute, just any minute now, I'm waiting for Paul to jump on the Zoom, and we're praying that all of the technology works. Paul and his family are missionaries to Uruguay, and he's going to be joining us live through Zoom. And as soon as he jumps on, we're going to jump in and talk with him. And in fact, here he is. So, hey, Paul, just one second. We're live with everyone here. I'm going to do some finagling on my end so that everyone can see you. So just give me 2 seconds, and we'll be able to talk together here.
Sounds good. We can hear you fine.
All right. So one sec. I've got to switch the scene There we go. So the wonders of technology, I've got two cameras going. So I'm kind of looking at everybody this way and you see me from the side, but we're all talking with one another. And so, yeah, how's it going, everyone? It's good to see you. We're excited that technology is working. And we were hoping that everyone in our church would be able to talk with you today, but we're digital only today because of COVID, but we're glad that we could still have this conversation with you anyways, and that God is blessing in that way. So let's see here. I'm going to try to make this as big as possible on the screen for our folks. And all right.
Is it possible to share our screen with you as well via Zoom or not?
Everyone can see you. Okay. So, yep, I've got everyone can see you on our end. So even though you can't, all you can do is see me, everyone can see you and hear you. I don't have this down perfectly yet. I've got to kind of mute my microphone after I talk with you. Otherwise, we get this feedback loop from speakers. So everyone just bear with us. But Paul, what I've been doing for, we've just shared a lot of stories from all the missionaries that we support. We just want to hear what God is doing there in Uruguay, how he's blessing, maybe a good news story of what God's doing there. And then if you can share with us kind of some of your struggles, what are some of your needs and burdens of how we can maybe support you better or pray for you more. Why don't you just share a couple of those stories with us?
Sure, be happy to. So good morning to all of you. Good afternoon to us here in Uruguay. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. Just finished up our lunchtime meal. And good to be with you all. This year, as everyone already knows, has been absolutely crazy. And in spite of it, we've actually seen the Lord doing some pretty neat things. For quite some time, perhaps you've been praying that more men would be able to be part of our ministry here in Uruguay. And early in the year, we received word that one of our most faithful men was going to get married, and that most likely he was going to move away to Montevideo, which is 2.5 hours away. And we're talking about Victor Moreira. He's an electrician, policeman, and one of the members in our church. And of course, we're thinking, oh boy, we're going to lose one of our few men in our church. What are we going to do? And the lady he married, they had instant family already. Sure enough, he moved away 2.5 hours to Montevideo. But before he moved, he put us in touch with three of his friends. One is his stepbrother, Pablo Morente, and then Jesusito. Carlos Jesus is another man. He works at a tire changing shop, but it would be for agricultural logging trucks, big equipment type things. And then another man who's a nurse, his name is Fernando. So we went from having lost one man to gaining three. And so isn't the Lord good? And I was able to have my first Bible study with Pablo and his family a week ago. It's a fairly young family as well. And that was exciting because that took about 3 months to finally get them to open up their home and allow me to come in and not just teach Pablo, but have him have me come in and for me to be able to encourage him to be the spiritual leader of his home. We believe his wife is saved, a little bit of a charismatic background there, but their teenage daughter, this would be a second marriage type of situation. She's interested in spiritual things, but I don't think she knows the Lord yet. And then they have just a brand new baby. So it was a real joy to be able to go into their home and share the gospel. And then also I've been having Bible studies almost every Monday with Fernando, who is the nurse. And he's been coming to our home and doing one-on-one with him. Amen. And then with Carlos, he's been just so crazy busy. Some issues there in his marriage, but we were finally able to get him to come. He came on a Tuesday night instead of the Monday night for the men's meeting. He was busy working that night, so we redid the men's meeting for him. And I had it on Tuesday night, and he stayed till 1 in the morning. And what a joy it was just to sit there and chat with him about spiritual things and disciple him. And then he actually showed up a couple days later. He was just driving by, just driving by, as my mother-in-law was leaving our home. to go back to her house. And he parked his car in the middle of the street, got out, and we ended up chatting for like 20 minutes or so, just the middle of the street type of deal. How exciting is that, though, to see some men with some spiritual interest, to see that hunger in their lives for spiritual things. And every single one of them has said, hey, I need this in my life. If I don't have this, life is gray. It's not going well. I have so many issues, but with Christ, I can. So what a blessing it's been to see that develop here in the last few months as a direct result of the COVID, of them seeing their need to engage more with spiritual things. So that's kind of my big news, my good news.
Amen.
Some of the different things that you can pray for us is we're trying to figure out what to do with our building. Our building right now, we can only meet with a third of the folks that would normally be able to meet in it. So that means 9 people. We're meeting for Sunday school with our youth and our children. And then we have our main family service here at our house. We have a patio that's larger and we can meet outside. Praise the Lord, we're finally going into summer. In the wintertime, it was a little chilly in the park. And then some of our older folks didn't want to go out to the park when the wind was blowing, you know, and it was really cold. That's been an encouragement to have some of our older folk be able to come back and be part of our services, although it's in our home, not the ideal situation, but in our home, and to be able to reestablish contact. And just there's such a need, as I'm sure you well know as well, just to meet together as a one body.
Yeah.
Over the internet, it's great, but there's just something with that personal connection.
Yeah.
Of course, we're trying to be cautious and careful and meet all the guidelines that we can. But at the same time, we also see the definite need to be one body in Christ as a local church and to be together to encourage one another. So that goes back to our building. What do we do with it? We're paying about $400 a month in rent. Before, the folks in the church were paying for that rent. Now they're not, which makes total sense since they're not meeting at the building. We have more than enough funds to be able to continue to cover that. Finances are not necessarily the immediate concern, but it is a question of good stewardship. And then as we look towards furlough, Lord willing, next year, probably be August, around that time, what do we do with that building? We love the location, but the size is small. We'd love to purchase land, build when we come back. So these are some of the things that are rolling through my mind as a pastor of the church, and to be able to see the work move forward and progress. I don't know how much time we have here, but I have Joanna and Felicia and Sophia. I'll prime to share something quick here if we have the time. All right, go ahead, Joanna.
All right. Pastor John, you and Sharon might remember having met Ana Paula when Sharon was helping Felicia with food. Well, this morning we had an incident with Ana Paula, which made it that I wasn't able to teach Sunday school and ended up at the police station.
Mm-hmm.
On her way to Sunday school, Ana Paula was walking by herself, and half a block from our church, there was a man sitting in the car, called her over to the car. She went towards the car, and he wanted her to get in the car, and he wanted to take her to wherever she was going. He didn't have a clue where she was going, doesn't know, she doesn't recognize him. So it was, unfortunately, a not desirable situation. She's learned some lessons from it, and yet we're thankful for God's protection, very thankful for God's protection over her life, and that she just walked away from the situation, and he started the car and drove off. So once we got to the church building, she was there already waiting for us, and the ball started rolling, and it ended up that, you know, Paul called 911, the police then came, she called on the phone, and then she realized the ball dropped us and what could have happened to her. So it was an interesting, just at least Sunday school. We could start to our class, and then she just went with the police to the station to do the report, and her mother obviously got involved, and I didn't get home till like 1 something in the afternoon. But we're just thankful I'm thankful I got my Sunday school lesson all written out and all the blanks filled in and everything, so my husband could fill in without having to study. God knows those things ahead of time. But once again, it's an opportunity with her mother, who's not saved, for her to see how we care for her daughter. We truly want to care for her in every sense. And we're just so grateful that God took care of Annabelle and he was there. Her mother's first words to her daughter almost after hearing all that what happened was, Anna, God is with you everywhere you go. And I know she believes in God, but I don't believe she's a born-again believer. And just pray that we'll have more and more opportunities that her mother would soften to the gospel that way. And so next week, one of our teenage boys is offering to go to Anna's house to walk with her so she's not afraid, because she's now afraid to just go anywhere. I mean, she never expected this to happen.
Yeah.
So keep praying for Anna Paula, that she be faithful. She's learning to trust the Lord more, obviously, through this. And that the police find that person, because we don't want him to hurt anybody else. So there are cameras on that corner, the next corner down, so hopefully we'll be able to see them.
Amen.
I was able to make a little group again for a Bible study that we had started some time back. Ana Paula has caught up to Felicia and Leticia in basic Bible study. And so last week we were able to meet in Leticia's apartment, and now I have the three teenagers together. So that was special for them to be together again, all with masks on and it's hot. But that's what we have to do now. So I'm just grateful for the opportunities that God has given. I still have a Friday morning Bible study. My mother's participating in that since she came back in June. She participated when I was teaching in person, and I had the ladies on Zoom and WhatsApp. And now mom has been participating in that since she left. Now she was back here again for 3 weeks. And so it's a way for me to connect with my mom too, and she with the ladies here. Now I need to give a little update on mom. She was here for 3 weeks, and then close to 2 weeks since she went back to her house. First 2 weeks were great. The last week, she had chills and spiked a fever, ended up in urgent care for almost all day, and came home with her with an IV and needing an intravenous antibiotic, and therefore, so for 5 nights, I literally slept on a mattress next to her bed, and it wasn't easy.
Wow.
But my sister then came, and she and my brother-in-law were able to take her back home with the recommendations of the doctor and how to go about that, because her blood pressure was very unstable. She also fainted while the nurse was here one day giving her her medicine. She just fell asleep in front of all of us. We were off the table around here, and Sophie literally came over and held Grandma's head up because she was falling asleep.
Oh, wow.
And her blood pressure had dropped down to 80. So,
oh, wow.
The nurse was here. She walked us through it all. We took her in the wheelchair, which we had brought with me when I went to get her. Put her in her bed, raised her legs up, and like clockwork. The nurse said 15, 20 minutes, she'll be awake. And it was just like that. She woke up and was smiling because her granddaughters were looking at her. We were all around her bed staring at her. And she said, "Why don't I remember laying down for a nap?" And then I said to her, "Mom, well, how are you feeling?" And we didn't understand exactly what she was saying at first. And she was like, "What's your birthday?" "Mom, can you repeat that?" And what she was saying was, "With my fingers." So she had a sense of humor. We just all kind of, you know, could have been a really scary situation, but it ended up having multiple humorous moments. And then I said, "Now, make sure you keep your legs raised." And what she did was raise up a leg in the air. So I knew she was okay. But thank you so much for praying for mom. Her cancer is advancing. It's noticeable. Even since she's left here, she's now has nausea every day in the morning, sometimes in the evenings. And tomorrow, a doctor will be going to assess her situation as in a hospice care doctor. So her birthday's on Tuesday. We're hoping to be up there with them for her birthday. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes away from us. So we're hoping to spend a couple days with mom over her birthday.
Okay, so my good thing to share is that we've had a couple teen activities lately, and we've had some new teenagers come out, which has been a blessing to all of us since there's only like 3 or 4 faithful teens coming. A couple of them have been my classmates, and I've been classmates with them, well, one of them for about 12 years now, the other one for about 10. A couple of my closer friends from school, and so they came to that, and that was a blessing. They seemed to enjoy themselves, and they weren't able to come to last teen activity, but they wanted to, I could tell. So it's just a blessing to see that desire for them to come and be with us with an actual church activity. And as well, there's another girl who came last teen activity where we celebrated Juan Manuel's birthday. And she is a, what is it, orchestra classmate or something like that of Juan Manuel's. And she was able to come and express that she also enjoyed being here with us and that she hoped to see us again. So that's a blessing. So it's just, it's been a big blessing to all of us at the church to see the teen group start to grow a little bit more. So we've been praying for that for a long time.
So I would like to talk about a boy that came to Sunday school once. His dad had died. He has a 15-year-old sister, and they lost their dad, and he's called Juancito, and he came to Sunday school once, but he hasn't come back yet.
We're praying that Juancito comes back. Amen. And this is our little Lego girl. So this is what we've been doing to keep ourselves entertained here. This is Lego going on.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for sharing some of those stories with us. Like I said, the Lord's been good and leading some newer folks to our church. And so I've had a burden my whole ministry that our church people know our missionaries as well as possible so that it's not just names on pages, but there's a relationship there so that we are encouraged by God's grace to give generously and also to pray faithfully for you all. And so I know then as we're generous and faithful in our prayer that then God puts us in your heart and you in return are praying for us in the ministry here. And we're just excited to see God work. And we're excited to see souls being saved for the gospel. And it's neat, some of the things that you're sharing, we're experiencing here as well, as far as, you know, finding those spiritually needy people. Because of COVID, they're out there. And God's been leading some of those to us. And it's encouraging to hear that God's leading some of those folks your way as well. So we will definitely be praying for all of you. And we do that on a regular basis. Every time you send your prayer letters, they get read, and I send those out on a weekly basis to our people. And we're constantly trying to be faithful in prayer and supporting you all. So we're grateful that you can go and minister there in Uruguay where we can't, and we're just excited to see the harvest of righteousness one day when the Lord comes back. I think we'll all be surprised at how richly God rewards people as they spend their lives for his sake and for the sake of the gospel. So
I wanted to add that I think of you folks almost every single day, because last time we were at your church on furlough, your pastor and his wife, they took us out to buy a pair of shoes, my wife and I. And every morning I put on my boots and I think of you guys. So you're in our prayers and thoughts as well. Thank you.
Amen.
My missionaries next time, you should buy them all shoes. And they'll pay for you more.
Well, amen. I wish, I wish we had some of our people here that they could ask you some questions, interact, but this is, in God and his providence, had it this way. So why don't I just pray for you, dear folks, and then we'll say goodbye to you, and then I'll end the live stream, and then Paul, maybe we can reconnect after that's over, and I can give you a tour of the new building. So let me pray for you, dear folks. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to live Zoom with the Harmons. And Lord, our hearts go out to them. And we're excited to hear of the opportunities that you've given to them. Thank you that even though they lost one man, they gained three. And Paul has been having these opportunities to reach out to these guys and study the Bible with them and see them grow in their understanding and the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of these other opportunities that you've given with the classmates and this little boy that came to Sunday school. And Lord, our heart goes out to this young lady that had that incident with this man in the car this morning. And that's terrifying, but we pray that that wouldn't discourage her from coming to church and studying the Bible and growing in her faith. Thank you that there's already somebody volunteering to walk with her to church next week. And Lord, thank you also for the warmer weather as they assemble at the Harmon's home and they're able to do that out on the patio. Would you just bless now as they head into their summer months and the people see the need to gather together and assemble face to face and stir each other up to love and good works. Would you bless significantly the group of believers there and then continue to lead more and more needy people to them so that they can share the hope of the gospel. And bless and give them wisdom as they decide what to do with their current building, as to whether to keep renting that out or to let that rent go, and then just trust you to provide a new space once the COVID restrictions and lockdowns are lifted and we're able to get back to more of a normal meeting week to week in a building. Thank you for the Harmons, and I pray, Lord, that through this time you would cause all of our people here to just overflow in generosity and giving towards them so that we can see souls saved and we can see the gospel go forward and just more and more. And we might participate in that harvest of righteousness. And Lord, we love you and we love the Harmons and continue to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thank you for connecting with us.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless. And I'll just end this Zoom here and then I'll try to reconnect with you and then give you a quick tour of the building here. So see you in just a few minutes.
Thank
All right. So thank you so much for sticking with us this morning. And I trust that that was a blessing for you. I just want to end our time this morning with three quick slides. And that's challenging. How can you further the mission of our church in 2021? And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm just going to list them for you and ask that you be praying about these with me. Number one, give graciously to the grace-giving budget. You've seen people, you've seen faces, you've heard needs, you've seen how the gospel is going forward. Pray about it, prepare, and plan to give graciously to our missions budget. Number two, pray faithfully for a harvest of righteousness. I send out every week the prayer lists. It has all the missionary prayer letters on it. It's got all of our church prayer requests on it. It's got all of the salvation requests on it. So if you're not getting those weekly prayer letters, text messages, talk to me. I'll get you on that. You can get those. Pray faithfully. And number three, obey personally the Great Commission. We need to see more and more people come to Christ here in our Jerusalem, because the more people we have here and the more people we disciple to give graciously, the more money we're going to have to then support people like the Harmons and to see the gospel go forward unto the ends of the earth. So let's, you know, just giving, just writing a check, that doesn't, you know, let us off the hook. That's not what the Great Commission is all about. It's certainly part of it, but we need to be doing all these things faithfully. And then I know God will bless and God will use us in a powerful way. So